Hello and welcome to the NRF1 podcast on Acast, on iTunes, live from Norwich, Norfolk, the capital of Norfolk. We are here, as always, to give you a spin on the Formula One season from Nelson's County, and we will be looking ahead to the Chinese Grand Prix, round three of the 2016 Formula One Championship. It is time for some Shanghai delight, and as for tonight, we've got a panel of Kyle Cumbers, David Tillier, and Richard Baxter. Let's kick things off with the news. And we're actually up to date this time, which is always lovely. So, but what I want to do is actually start with some old news, which was from a while ago, in terms of Sky's new TV deal from 2019, I think it is. Formula One will only be on pay TV, and there will be highlights on free to view, but no live coverage. Richard Baxter, tell me you're angry.
I'm very angry.
Are you really angry?
Grrr. You can hear it in my voice. That's my angry voice. But no, I'm not best pleased, shall we say. I think if you're trying to gain fans, you're going to try and gain sponsorship, and you want more people involved in the sport, you need to have it free to wear to everyone. I mean, Channel 4, okay, they're doing it with adverts, but at least they're showing the whole race live. That's good. I don't have Sky, so you know I'm stuck on Channel 4 as well. But I want to watch the race. And as soon as when it goes, Sky said they're going to have a free-to-air channel and show highlights. But I don't just want the highlights; I want a race. And that's when I'm not going to end up paying all this money for Sky and all this money for BT Sports so I can watch the football. And then I haven't got a house. What am I going to do?
It's a lot of money as well. A lot of money, DT. Welcome.
Hello. I mean, I'm not adverse to paying for Formula One. You know, it's the sport I love, and I'm quite happy to pay for it. What I don't want to pay for is all the other trash that goes along with having a Sky subscription.
Avoided the beep.
I don't want any of the other channels. You know, my TV isn't even connected to an aerial at home. Everything I watch is through Netflix or other streaming services, or you know, you've got iPlayer or 4 on demand, all that kind of stuff, and you can watch everything through the internet now, so I don't need to pay horrific amounts of money. And when you look at it, how much it costs over the course of a year to have a Sky package with sports and all the other things, it's hundreds of pounds, you know, and it's ridiculous in my eyes.
Kyle Cumbers, it's your fault, isn't it? You watch Sky.
I do watch on Sky.
Being a bit harsh.
They do a very good job, but I think it's bad. I think it's just a very short-sighted view. Other sports do it, so it's not only Formula One. But you want the casual young lad to turn on the telly and watch...
Or lady, sorry.
And watch a Formula One race, and I want to become a Formula One driver, or say, Dad, I want to go to Silverstone and watch this.
Or Mum.
And, I just think, you know, they get the casual young fan watching, and... I think it's just short-sighted. And also, if you're on terrestrial telly and free-to-air telly, then the drivers become bigger stars, and that's better for Formula One as well. So,
I couldn't agree more. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because in roughly the same time period, Twitter have announced that they're going to cover NFL games, some NFL games, and broadcast them on Twitter. You couldn't get more free to view than NFL games going out on a Thursday night, I think it is, on Twitter.
Well, I was going to make a point earlier on, is that I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's a big NFL fan, and he's also an NBA fan, I think, as well. And he watches,
good choices.
Yeah, he watches a lot of sport through, I forget how he actually, I think it's through an Apple TV or something like that, some kind of streaming device. But effectively, he pays a subscription directly to the NBA and the NFL, and then he gets their content. He doesn't pay to Sky or to whichever, he's getting it directly from that. And surely in the modern era, in this day and age, surely the F1 commercial rights holders should actually cotton on to that and say, look, it's working elsewhere. But then we all know that F1 is always behind the times when it comes to sport. They were late with high definition. They've only just gone on to YouTube and started doing YouTube stuff. They're really bad with their social media stuff. They're always behind the times. So the fact that they haven't done that actually doesn't surprise me, really.
It's... Yeah, NBA TV, you can pay a subscription and then you can watch any game you want. And it's a fair amount of money, but you're paying for a whole year. Yeah. And I honestly think Formula One could make probably as much money from that if they get it directly themselves.
Yeah, I think the only caveat is if it's on the UK channels at the moment, the rights prohibit them you from being able to watch it on their streaming services. But I think that will change in due course.
Have it free to view and a streaming service online. You'd be quids in. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the drivers as well, because there's been a lot about the driver's letter, and Bernie Eccleston told them they shouldn't have a say and things like that. Maybe we'll come on to that in a moment. Lots of politics going on. We should touch on qualifying. They've sorted it from China onwards. It's going to be how it was last year. Who knew? Who knew? I still think this is a bit of a mess, because you could have just tweaked the situation, but to be honest, it probably had gone past the point of no return and they had to return it to how it was, didn't they, Rich?
I think so. The teams, I think, after rejecting this aggregate qualies...
thank God, by the way.
Yeah. I think the team said they're not going to agree to anything else unless it's a return to the 2015 rules. And you think, fair enough, at least they've stood firm, put their foot down. And to be honest, in some ways, credit to John Tott and Bernie Ecclestone for actually shifting, because I think they're not the least stubborn of people. What's the word?
No, you're spot on. You're correct. Absolutely. There was an interesting piece, and I think we'll tweet it on and post it on the Twitter feed at the NRF1 and on the Facebook page, facebook.com/NRF1podcast. Jonathan Noble was talking about the aggregated qualifying system and why it wouldn't work. And then at the bottom of it, he put his own version of what could work. And I think it was like having a little qualifying race on a Saturday, and, you know, last car round gets eliminated after a certain period of time. I quite like that idea, but, you know, probably never going to happen. It just seemed like a nice idea. But there we go. At least it is sorted. Are you happy with how it's been resolved?
Well, yeah, I think the key thing here is that no one wanted it to change. Like, the fans weren't asking for it, so why did they change it? What we're asking for is for other things to be sorted out and other things to change. Qualifying has never been an issue. When they brought it in 2006, it pretty much worked from day one, I think, and has worked really well ever since. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Well, it was to mix up the race, wasn't it? But I suppose ultimately the racing in the two Grand Prix so far probably hasn't been shaken up by what happened on the Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the races have been good. The new tyre strategies have worked quite well.
Your tyre strategies, Carl.
Possibly. So they've worked quite well. So it's been interesting to see how that just developed. And if that's after doing that, that still needed tweaking, then possibly you can look at it. But instead of chucking a last-minute thing in the pot, then, yeah. And it was never going to work. It's just too late to work out.
There we go. I'll tell you something else that has changed that probably people didn't really want to. There is now no champagne in Formula One. When they're on the podium, it is now sparkling wine from sponsors Chandon, is it, I think? So, and it's not proper champagne. Basically, because I believe the story went, Bernie Eccleston, I can't remember who it was who was providing it before. I want to say mum, that's right. I wanted too much money from them, unbelievably. I know, who'd have thought that would happen? So they went, sodja. And it's now Chandon, as I call them, with their sparkling Chardonnay. Rich, are you a fan of sparkling Chardonnay? I mean, you don't need to say anything else. That pretty much did it, I think.
Is it still alcoholic?
Yeah. Well, it's wine.
Well, then, kid me, you'll be happy, so that's fine.
Hey. Ba-doom. And there we go.
Does it spray as much? Is it as fizzy? Or?
Well, no one's picked up on it in the first two races, have you?
That's true.
And we don't know if it smelled any different, but I guess it didn't. Maybe did slightly.
I don't know. I know they've used, what was it, the rose water, haven't they, in Abu Dhabi, because obviously they don't drink over there and everything. So, yeah, if it's going this whole... the route, then I won't be surprised if it's that in every race soon.
Just bring on the rose water, eh? Yeah, well, this is true. This is true.
Give them like squirty bottles of water, you know, that you squeeze and it just.
Super soakers. Mm. Yeah, super soakers.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, because years gone by, you see drivers sort of rubbing their eyes because they're so painful. It doesn't seem to happen as much recently, so maybe
It's probably just water. Probably just soda water after everything.
I think it's probably because the same people are on the podium all the time. They're just immune to it now. So
their eyes are hardened.
How about we bring in some silly string? That'd be quite funny.
Party poppers the lot. A bit of news from today. Williams have made a profit, I think, this year. Their accounts said, came out today, that they've made a profit due to their good improved performance over the last 2 years. Big conversation at the moment is, of course, levelling off the amount of income that these teams are getting, because there are huge disparities in, say, certainly Ferrari. They basically get handed $70 million on a plate, but between them and Red Bull, and then the amount that McLaren have lost compared to 2015 is, I think it's like 20, 23, 25 million quid. It was a lot of money.
Yeah. which is part of the problem, really. Go back to the qualifying. Part of the reason there's was such a big difference is the huge amount of money in the prize money, or difference in prize money. So if they sort of change things like that, then racing will be better. If teams at the bottom can afford to go racing and don't have to appoint drivers that just bring a check, i.e. Sauber, then the racing will be better, so we don't need to have little tweaks to qualify.
Got it nailed. A little bit of admin for you. Dear Ped, he sent me a message before the last podcast, which I thought was with his predictions for China. It turns out it was for his things from Bahrain. So I felt a bit bad. So I'm going to read them out. He said that the driver of the weekend for him was Stoffel Vandoorne, which I think we probably all agreed with. Honourable mention to Romain Grosjean. His team of the weekend was Red Bull, with an honourable mention to Manor. He's very fair, Ped. Highlight of the weekend was how competitive the field is at the moment, even Manor getting up to sniff around the top 10. I mean, it has to be said. And his pastor of the weekend, Bottas, Valtteri Bottas, but it's a soft one because no one really had that bad a race or a moment. Bless him. Bless old Ped. Right, let's have a bit of this, shall we? It's Tweets and Social. Hasn't got its own jingle yet, but I might work on that one because I think it, you know, some upbeat kind of party jingle. I'm not very good at writing those, but
I came up with a this probably shouldn't go in the podcast, but I came up with a good idea for, you know, we've got the of the weekends. When I was going to write an F1 magazine ages ago, I came up with the good, the Badoa, and the ugly.
No, we're going to keep that in the podcast. The good, the Badoa, the good, the Badoa. I like that. Well, yeah.
There must be another driver that rhymes with good.
Problem is, good. Yeah. One for each.
Well, so I thought it worked quite well because it's just throwing in that one, that one F1 reference in there, but yeah, otherwise, I think it would.
The little jewel in the crown. The problem is, we'll post this now. Someone's going to nick it, aren't they? And we've already got Pasta. There's just too many bad. Luca Badoa, was he bad? Is that fair?
It was terrible.
I can't really remember him.
Didn't feel sorry for him in that. Was it? I can't remember the year now. He stood in for like Ferrari. He was he's awful.
Yeah. He made Pastor Maldonado look incredibly credible.
Because they put Badoa in because Massa got injured, and then Badoa was too slow, so they signed Fisichella from Force India, and he was much better, to be honest, in that car because it wasn't a good car.
I love it. Well, we're going to have to do something with that, aren't we? Okay, so let's go on with these tweets and social, shall we? Juan November got in touch. More on qualifying. He didn't mind the new system, but he was wondering if Q1s, 2s and 3s could be cut down in length so people didn't see an empty track. It would sort of distill it all down. But, I mean, could you still do that with the 2015 format? Because we're still going to have this problem where there's going to be no cars on track for the first however long.
Yeah, I think there'd be more laps done with the old system. I wondered if you could have four qualifying sessions, so you chucked out five at a time, or whatever, and got to a final however many it leaves. I think there'd be more racing. I like the checkered flag going, and there's 10 cars all trying to make sure they weren't chucked out.
Yeah, so. It did always build up to a frenzied conclusion.
Yeah, remember the times where you'd be watching qualifying on Saturday and the last person across the line would clinch pole position, and it would, almost your heart would be in your mouth. It was fantastic. It was better than the Sunday.
Andy Whitney got in touch. He still doesn't live in Whitney, I assume. But here's a technical question for you, so this will be a bit of a tester because I don't know the answer. May teams, Ferrari, upgrade engine components without spending tokens if the changes solely affect reliability or safety?
I still believe the reliability rule exists. You can update it for reliability possibly. I'm not too sure, actually.
Should it be more safety and then reliability would be the... Because if your engine's not reliable, that's your own fault, I would have said. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not AFA with the rules, particularly when it comes to that. But I think my basic understanding is that they can make basic changes as long as it's not directly for performance. But it's got to be quite hard to police, though, isn't it?
But when it's Ferrari, it's all right, isn't it? Because they run the sport.
Exactly, it's the mafia behind it who must not be mentioned at all. Is there.
Didn't Eccleston again this week say Ferrari are F1 and they should be paid more?
Excellent.
Yeah, they're the Rolling Stones of F1, I think he said.
Brilliant. Well, maybe they can give some of that 70 million quid to Haas.
Whoa. Spread it out.
Spread it out a bit further. Here's another one from Tweets and Social. Kyle Cumbers, which country would you like to race in that F1 doesn't race in at the moment? Hashtag ask Toto.
I did submit in, yes.
Did you get a reply?
I didn't know.
Did he get asked it?
I don't know, actually. I didn't see anything on there.
Which country would you like to race in? Ask Kyle.
Well, I'd probably have to go back to Argentina.
Back to Argentina? When was the last time they raced in Argentina?
Early 90s.
Estoril?
Yeah. I think
that's Portugal, isn't it?
Portugal. Oh, yeah, it is Portugal.
understandable connection, possibly. Do they speak Spanish in Argentina or Portuguese? It's Portuguese in Brazil. I think it's Spanish in, yes, in Argentina. Anyway, well, we're coming out of this great. Don't worry, it doesn't matter. Rich is going to Google it.
We are the experts.
We are clearly the experts. This is why we love you asking us these questions.
Yeah. That was somewhere cold.
Somewhere cold?
Yeah.
Well, Sochi should be cold, but do they race at a time when it's not cold?
Because I think, you know, like occasionally you get like the chance of maybe rain at some races. A chance of snow would be quite interesting, I reckon. Maybe a bit of sleet. That
bit would of be. Ice.
That would, yeah.
That would sort them out, wouldn't it?
Like ice on the track, that would mix things up, wouldn't it?
Kimi would be awesome. It is the Autodromo Oscar Alfredo Galvez.
That's good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, you like that? Is that what it is? That where the last Grand Prix? When was it last held?
1998.
I don't know. I mean,
not that long ago.
I feel like I've followed Formula One yet. I seem to have massive holes in. Obviously, I know who Luca Padoa was, but I couldn't tell you anything he did. Never mind. Anyway, that's more for me to worry about. We had a couple of other things. Luke Brennan got in touch. Thanks, Luke, on Twitter, at the NRF1, if anyone else fancies it. Do you think Kimi will still be at Ferrari this time next year? Luke, speaking as someone who predicted this would be his last season in F1, no. Anyone else?
No.
With the way Grosjean has driven the start of this season, I think he's going to be at Ferrari next year, to be honest.
Ooh.
I agree, actually. I think Grosjean will be there.
Kyle agrees with that. That's very interesting.
That's obviously a good sign with this inside information.
Maybe. a hunch, maybe. Sam Todd, good to hear from you, Sam, especially as he's pretty good with his predictions. He said he'd just like to mention Bernie as his pastor of the Bahrain weekend regarding the fact that drivers' opinions don't matter. And highlight of the weekend had to be Toto's interview with DC and Mark. It was a kick, not a blow. Can you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a bit awkward, shall we say.
Was it a bit of innuendo there, was there?
Yeah, I think that's what it was, really.
That's the word.
Ridiculous scenes. How dare they? We should also, I don't know, brilliant what Steve picked up on the whole video of... What was the video of that? Johnny Herbert, yes, with Fernando Alonso. If you haven't seen it, I will make a note that we put that up on the website as well, because it was truly hilarious. I can't wait for the next time Johnny Herbert tries to interview Fernando Alonso. Right then, next up, it's China. I think it was Daniel Ricciardo saying that it's as tough a circuit as they get to drive all year, which surprised me a bit, because it's just long straights, isn't it? But it's a bit more technical than that.
Yeah, I quite like the track. There's been some good races over the years. I do like the long straight. I like just early on, because you can see all the cars in one line. I think that's quite cool in a weird way.
What a slipstream. Absolutely.
There's plenty of overtaken there normally, so with the long straight, obviously helps.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm surprised it's one of the hardest ones. I don't see why it's any harder than any other, or unless it's just a... something to say in a press release.
Well, probably, most likely. Lewis Hamilton has won 3 out of the last 5 races around Shanghai. He likes it, DT. He better win then, hadn't he? Because it's been a while.
It has, yeah. He's definitely on the back foot. But
rope-a-dope, it's fine. It's all rope-a-dope. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I have a strong feeling that I think Rosberg, he's strong at China, and I don't think Hamilton's advantage last year was particularly big. When they cross the checkered flag, so yeah, I think Rosberg is possibly going to bring it again this weekend.
Ooh, I mean, if I was to ask most important weekend, who is it for? Who is? But that's not actually a question, is it? Who is this the most important weekend for? Rich, would Lewis be your man?
I wouldn't say any of the drivers really. I'd say Force India as a team, because they've not really been anywhere at the start of the season. I mean, Lewis, of course, it would be be ideal for him to get a win, but still, third race of the season, it's a long season. But I mean, other than that, I think he's, you know, still got it. I read a thing today, he said he's better prepared mentally than he ever has been before. So he's obviously got the confidence in himself. And it was quite funny because I also saw, I think it was yesterday, he was flying out to China, whereas previous races he's gone out basically the day before practice. So maybe he's kind of knuckling down a bit himself or something, I don't know.
I like that. How about that? Most important weekend for?
I go for Ferrari. So Kimi's engine problem in Australia and Vettel's in Bahrain. So we keep hearing, mainly from Mercedes actually, how quick Ferrari are going to be.
Yeah.
So we're actually interested to see if they can get both cars to the finish and actually see how quick they are.
So. I'd go with Hamilton again. Yeah, again, he's needs to claw back some of that points difference.
Yes, he does, but it's rope-a-dope. It's fine. It's all rope-a-dope. Right, well, we'll get your predictions in a moment, gents, but first let's go through the ones from Bahrain. Now, this is, you know, proving very successful, but the problem is it's taking me ages now to rattle them all off. So here we go. Rich, you said that in Bahrain, Raikkonen will be on the podium. Well done. Jolyon Palmer, top 10, no. Verstappen, DNF, no, although you've got a kudos point for that. Someone would get a new front wing by the end of lap one. No?
No.
Good. I didn't check, but I assume that's the case. And two top tens for McLaren, no. Steve Rust did well again. Qualifying, only qualifying. He said it'd be a Mercedes front row. Yes. Ferrari second row, correct. And then in terms of top teammates, Hamilton, yes. Vettel, yes. Kvyat, no. Massa, no. Alonso, no. Perez, no. Verstappen, yes. Magnussen, yes. Ericsson, yes. Verlaine, yes. Grosjean, yes. That's pretty good work. DT, you said Hamilton pole, Hamilton win. Half right. Rosberg would be second in Q2 in qualifying and the race, which was half right. And Vettel would be third in qualifying and race, which was half right. McLaren, no points, which was wrong. STR, Toro Rosso, two times top 10. Finish, which is wrong. Verstappen ahead of Sainz, which is correct. One Force India in the points they wish. One out they wish. there we go. And I gave you kudos points for your more woolly, forgettable, slightly thingy races, because half of them were right, some of them wrong. But you got some kudos points, which is obviously all that matters. Kyle, you said Rosberg pole, Hamilton win, Raikkonen second, good call in the race. Nasr DNF, he finished, I think. Alonso Q and exit, which is a bit of a shame because he didn't actually race, but of course we didn't know that at the time, and we wouldn't have done anyway. And Ferrari to have one pit stop each.
It's horribly wrong.
No, and if only Sebastian Vettel had a pit stop. And two Red Bulls in the top eight. Good shout, well done. I said that someone other than Hamilton, Rosberg and Vettel would be on the podium in either the race or qualifying, which was correct on both counts. Alonso in the points, a first points for McLaren. So obviously Alonso didn't race, but they did get their first points. Sainz ahead of Verstappen, no. Verlaine to be the last classified finisher, no. It was his man, a teammate, I think. Sauber to have two, Q and exit, yes. Palmer in the points, no, due to those technical issues. Third time lucky for Renault, maybe this weekend. Timmer, he said that the race would be Rosberg first, Vettel second, Hamilton third, Raikkonen fourth, Ricciardo fifth. Only two of those, the two McLarens. Mercedes, sorry, but both McLarens to finish? Nope. One with a top 10 result? Yes. Rosberg on pole? Nope. Crash in the pit lane mid-race? See, now, Tim, I haven't really included these, but I love reading them. A crash in the pit lane mid-race? I don't think there was one of those. Teammates will collide again? Well, I mean, probably, but come on. Did there was a team? Right, it was a long time ago. Sainz to get a warning for driving standards? Probably. It's Kyle loves these. Just for the sake of kudos points, Harry Anto for Maldonado award for ignoring blue flags and ruining a battle for position. To be honest, I don't even think I noticed him on the track, but there we go. Kieran P. Cousins on Twitter got in touch with some predictions. Thank you so much, Kieran. Verstappen out qualifying, Sainz correct, but Sainz beats Verstappen in race incorrect. Haas have a worse qualifying than Renault incorrect, but have a better race correct. Daniel Ricciardo beating both Toro Rossos in the race correct, but Kvyat getting beaten by both Toro Rossos in the race incorrect. So, you know, 50-50, Kieran, a great debut. Johnny Parfitt predicted a top 10 of Rosberg, Hamilton, Rosberg, Raikkonen, Hamilton, which he got right, and then the rest were all wrong. Then we're going to recite them all. Hamilton to top all three practice sessions. No, he didn't top one of them, in fact. And in Q3, no cars on the track for the last 3 minutes. Now, I'm pretty sure that the last action was 2.5 minutes to go, I think. But, you know, I'm sure knowing Johnny, he'll probably correct me because he's good at that. And then Hamilton on pole, correct. Rosberg to pit on lap 14, correct.
Seriously.
Unbelievable call. Great call. And a kudos point for that. Vettel to pit on lap 37, not so much. Hashtag make Michael Bailey stay awake for entire race. Harsh. Do you not know I've got a 10-week-old son?
Just one kudos point for the lap 14 pit stop?
Yes. Okay. Do you think he deserves more, do you? Yeah. What would you give him?
Three.
Three kudos points for that? DT, what would you give him?
Two. I'll go in the middle.
All right, well, I'll give him two. I'll double it. There you go. You know, you obviously paid him quite well there, Johnny. Sam Todd, he said Hamilton pole and win, half right. Stoffel to beat Jensen in quali, which was correct. Great call. And Manor will score their first points. They didn't, sadly. Sainz will beat Verstappen again. They didn't, sadly. No points for McLaren. They did get those points. Six DNFs, you're one out. It was five. Josh said qualifying would be Ross, Berg, Hamilton and Vettel. And race would be Rosberg, Vettel, Hamilton. Close. Ferrari would lead and then mess it up. They never got that far, did they, in the end? Has to do well between 10th and 12th. I gave you a kudos point for that one, Josh. A little bit woolly, but that's all right. Sainz ahead of Verstappen in the race? No. And then Ped said it'd be a Ferrari front row in qualifying. Toro Rosso's would have two in Q3, which is incorrect. One Williams with a Q2 exit. I think they both made it through in the end. And in the race, it'll be a Vettel P1 Mercedes to have a DNF, which is a big call. No points for Haas. And three different constructors on the podium, if only. Basically, the standings are as follows. Steve is top. Johnny P is second, Sam Todd third, Carl you're fourth, Kieran is fifth, straight in after one go, Ped sixth, Timmy seventh, Josh is eighth, DT you're ninth, which is still better than me in tenth, and Rich, it's all right, it's fine, it's early days, it's just rope-a-dope.
That's exactly what it is.
Do you want to start with the Chinese predictions?
I will do, yeah. I've just realised as well with this new hashtag, of course China starts at 7 a.m. So if your son's up early enough, you might watch the race.
Oh, I see. Right, nice. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. It'll be more the issue that he won't have slept until 7 o'clock in the morning, but it's fine. My wife's getting less sleep and doing an amazing job. Go on then, give us some China predictions.
Fair enough. I've still not stopped my usual... I think these are actually worse than the last ones.
Amazing.
So I'm going to say...
This really is rope-a-dope.
Yeah, both Haas to finish the race in the top 10.
Okay.
Both of them. Kvyat to finish ahead of Ricciardo in the race. Alonso to qualify top 10 to annoy Johnny Herbert, I think, really. Neither Renault to get through Q1. And this one I've really liked because first race there was 6 DNFs. Second race there was 5. So the third race, I'm going to predict that there's going to be 4.
Look at that. That is research. Good work, Rich. Good work. You deserve
now
more than you've got.
Now watch me fail again.
Not at all. Should we do this in reverse order then? Shall I go next? Let me go next. I haven't even thought about these. So let's say, I mean, I'm convinced ever since the moment I said Nico Rosberg will never win the world championship that he will now win it. So I think Nico will win this race. I think that Sebastian Vettel will be on the podium. I actually think Lewis will be on pole again. I think it's stuck in a rut. I think Renault will get their first points of the season. I think Verstappen will finish ahead of Carlos Sainz once again and probably in the top 8, and I think that Red Bull will be both cars outside the top 6, and with that I am done. DT.
I'm a little bit more prepared than I was last time, but I am keeping my predictions simple because 9th place is nothing to be proud of.
Better than 10th.
Yeah, or 11th.
All right. Always didn't pick.
Yeah. Staying quiet.
So I'm going to keep it simple. So for quali, I'm saying Hamilton's going to get pole, Rosberg second, Vettel third. Keep it nice and simple. And I'm quietly confident that at least one McLaren will make Q3. I hope. really hope. In the race, I think Rosberg's going to get it again. Like I said, I think he's strong. He only missed out on the top spot by 0.7 in last year's race. So he sort of handed Hamilton last year. So I think he's got the momentum to bring it forward. So I think he's going to end up on the top step again. Hamilton again in second, Vettel in third. I think Haas are going to get points again. And my only sort of slightly random one is I think at least two cars will not make the second corner. I'm not going to say how. That could be they don't start the race, or they crash, or they end up just breaking down. You know, there's a failure on the grid or something like that. Either way, they won't make the second corner. Not the first, the second.
Okay.
Is the second the left, or is the second further down?
I can't remember.
Because it always confuses me, the first corner, because it's...
I probably should have looked at the track guide, really. Because if the second and the first and second corner are pretty much the same bit, I can't really remember, then I might... Because they could crash at the first corner and then end up skidding across to the second corner, because then they've technically made the second corner.
I love predictions like that. That's brilliant.
I don't know.
I love it. No, I like that. Good show. Now, so. You have said it now, and you can have a kudos point for that one, because I like that one. That's creative. Whereas mine were really dull. How about you, Kyle?
I have made some notes.
Defending champion.
So I'm,
have you got much rope it up there?
Doesn't need it.
I'm going to go for Hamilton has won there four times, so he's got a strong weekend with a pole and a race win. Rosberg will be second in qualifying, but Vettel will be second in the race.
Oof.
I'm going to avoid the third places that I wrote down there. I think Toro Rosso will struggle with the long straight and the 2015 engine, so no points for them. I don't think I've made a Haas prediction so far. So I'm going to go for both Haases in the top 10 in qualifying. And then points for Verlaine, because I think the Manor will do well with the Mercedes engine, the long straight. And I like the Johnny prediction of pit stop. So I'm going to go for Lewis Hamilton will pit on lap 6.
Lewis Hamilton to pit on lap 6. Maybe we should all have a go. I think that Valtteri Bottas will pit on lap 10. How many laps are there in total? Anyone know? We should probably know.
Is it just first pit stop or just any
pit stop?
Just
any pit stop.
Well,
yeah.
I guess it would be the first pit stop, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
It was first pit stop. He did say first pit stop. He did say Rosberg to pit on lap 14.
Yeah.
So you're saying...
Lewis Hamilton to pit on lap 6.
I'm saying Valtteri Bottas to pit on lap... What did I say? 9?
Ten?
Did I say 10? Well, I need to 10. Whatever I said first time round, it'll be great in the edit.
Verlaine to pit on lap 29 because it kind of rhymes.
Oh my god! I want to give you a kudos point for the fact that you made it rhyme.
I'm not going to rhyme.
Not
going to drop myself to that level. I think Vettel lap 15.
Straight in with it. Like that. Like pit stop lottery.
The Johnny prediction.
The Johnny prediction. Yeah, Johnny. No, I can't think of that. There's probably a pun there that we can call it. Anyway, if any of you guys out there want to predict anything on the race, enter the prediction league, or predict who's going to pit on what lap. I can't wait to figure out all these. Jesus. Then do so. You can get in contact at the NRF1. That's on Twitter. You can do so on the Facebook page, facebook.com/NRF1podcast. You can even email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com or simply visit the website nrf1.uk for blogs, Kyle's tips, which we'll have for China, will we, do you think?
Yeah, hopefully do those tomorrow.
How did we get on in Bahrain? Oh, did we touch
profit.
On that?
Profit? There was profit from, yeah.
Five, yeah, we did do okay, didn't we?
Yeah, £5 bets. I think it was about £11 profit, so.
Bet responsibly, everyone. Yes. But yes, so we'll have more of those ahead of China, which I'm quite enjoying, I have to say. I'm glad you're taking the work out of that for me. And there'll be lots of fun stuff on the Twitter feed and Facebook page over the coming days. And of course, across the race weekend too. And hopefully we'll have some blogs. I almost thought I might write another blog, but you know, two blogs in three races might be a little bit too much, but we'll see, and hopefully these guys will get their thoughts in over the coming weeks as well. But I think that's it. We'll be back following the Chinese Grand Prix to sort out any arising Formula One problems, as we do, and more. A big thank you to our top panel tonight of Richard Baxter, David Tillier and Kyle Cumbers. Thanks again all you out there for listening and getting in touch. We really do appreciate it and thoroughly enjoy it, and we hope you enjoy it too. Enjoy China, and we will see you on the other side. Bye for now.